You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
No human institution has ever redeemed anyone. God has in one man, the man of his own choosing. His name? Jesus.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, give us the light of Christmas to light our journey through the year that is to come. Give us faith to see Jesus as our Savior, to accept his atonement for our sins, and to live in love as you have loved us in him. In your light, O God, shall we see light, even in the face of your Son and our Savior, Jesus. For his sake, hear our prayer. Amen. A baby boy was born in Bethlehem. The event has been celebrated all over the world. What happened 8 days later, our world forgets or has not even heard of. When the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Those 8 days put him right in there with us. Mary is real. Joseph is real. Jesus is real. Everything that happened in that stable is for real people like us who worry and fret and strive and sweat as we wrestle with life and its daily needs. That puts a different light on the whole happening. The baby was a real baby and there was a real birth. I guess babies have been born in a stable before and since that time. They've been born to poor parents with nothing to wrap those babies in except some old cloths made clean for the occasion. The pair in the stable did not see the angels that night. They did see the shepherds, whose arrival surprised them a great deal. Of all people, the shepherds were not the kind to show up in town when they were supposed to be out in the fields. They were not the kind to come and look at a baby. More than that, they were not the kind to fall down and worship him. From those shepherds, Mary and Joseph found out about the angels. 8 days later, this poor couple trudged up to the temple at Jerusalem, about 10 miles or so away, and did what parents were expected to do with a firstborn child. They presented him to the Lord. Luke explains to his Gentile friend to whom he was writing his gospel, "This was written in the law of the Lord. Every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." They went to offer a sacrifice in accordance with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. On that occasion, they gave him a name, as Jewish parents did. They called him Jesus. This was no accident. It was the name, says Luke, which was given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now that's different. If that's true, the birth of this baby is part of a great plan. It was not the plan of his parents. They would just as soon have kept him to themselves. But Mary and Joseph knew better than to try and do that. Mary had talked to the angel Gabriel, and Joseph by that time knew about it very well. The Virgin Mary, she was still a virgin, was a remarkable woman. What happened to her was even more remarkable. Out of all the women in the world, she received a direct message from God through the archangel Gabriel. The angel said to her, "Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." That was all he had to say about Mary. The rest of his message had to do not with Mary, but with Mary's son. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." The words have a poetic ring, like a hymn. They sound like the Psalms, or like some of the prophecies of the Old Testament. The angel had great news, with awesome implications for Mary and for everybody. The news is Jesus. And the angel was carried away with that. "He will be the Son of the Most High, foretold by Isaiah and Micah, and described by Daniel as the Son of Man." The angel looked forward and backward at the same time, back to the prophecies, to the longing of people for a Savior, and forward to the songs of eternity, like the Hallelujah chorus of the Book of Revelation, where Jesus Christ is Lord, reigning forever and ever. Mary asked the angel a most understandable question. "How can this be, since I have no husband?" She was a virgin, not just in name, but in actual fact. To that virgin mother, Jesus was born, the Son of the Most High. I'm not here to argue with you about it. I'm just telling you, as she told it, and as Christ's men told it, and as his people have told it down through the ages, Mary was some woman. As a friend of mine who studied everything about the Virgin Mary in the Bible remarked to me one day, "I'm very high on Mary." So am I. She was the living personification of the complete Christian person of whom St. Paul said, "Consider your call, brethren. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not," all of which fit Mary to a T, "to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. If it had not been for God, nobody would mention Mary today. If it were not for her son, Jesus, history would never record her name." Mary herself said that. She told Luke what the angel had called her, highly favored by God. Even the angel was more interested in God than in Mary. Mary was one of those poor in spirit, those who mourn, meek and persecuted, those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, whom her great son called blessed. If nobody cares about the nobodies of the world, those are exactly the people about whom God cares. By someone like that, he gave the world his very best. To those nobodies, in the person of his own great son, the great God has given the kingdom of heaven, with earth thrown in, and by his grace and mercy, a place in his blessed family. No wonder an old man on the day of that presentation said, "My eyes have seen thy salvation." That's a great word, salvation. It's what the world is always looking for and never seems to find. People try and try, and nothing seems to work. They get ahead and fall on their faces. Nations rise and fall. Economic booms are followed by economic busts. All the predictions turn out to be wrong, and everybody starts out all over again, trying and trying to find salvation. For some reason, which the Bible describes as its obstinacy, its carnality, its complete preoccupation with itself, our world continues to reckon without God. That's religion, they say. And who's got time for religion? It's high time we quit proclaiming the virtues of religion and began to proclaim the power of God. Religion won't do anything for people. Faith in God will. That's not faith in ourselves or in our own institutions. It's not faith in government, education, business, mass communications, morality, or even the church. All of them will prove to be disappointing. I have never yet met anyone who was saved by any one of them. The church has a place in our world, but only to proclaim the grace and glory of God. The church is not all-powerful just because God is all-powerful. The church never redeemed anyone. God has, in one man, the man of his own choosing, as Martin Luther called him in his great hymn. His name is Jesus. You will call his name Jesus, the angel said, because he will save his people from their sins. His name goes to the heart of the matter. The heart is salvation. His salvation goes to the root of the problem. That is sin. Everything that keeps people from knowing God, trusting God, loving God, hoping in God, and going with God in their everyday lives. That's sin, when people don't trust, love, and go with God. God's answer to sin is salvation. It's his answer. His answer is in that child who became that man called Jesus, which was the name the angel Gabriel gave him before he was conceived in the womb. That's God's way of doing things. He is not far off, as so many of our world's thinkers have always thought about him. The fact that he is hidden does not mean that he is far off. He is right there. His kingdom is right with us. His son is the promised one, the son of the Most High. And his name is Jesus, which means salvation. When God takes nobodies, as he chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus, he has a way of making them somebodies. First, he convinces those nobodies, the only ones God ever chooses, that they are nobodies. Then he makes them somebodies by his grace and glory. The change is so radical, so unexpected, so undeserved, that the people who have experienced it can describe it only as blessed. Mary sang for joy to her cousin Elizabeth, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away." The old man Simeon blessed God and sang, "My eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people, Israel." Salvation was his song, from the choosing of Abraham to the ends of the world and of time. Gabriel did not just speak, he sang. Why did he sing? He sang the name of Jesus, as St. Paul sang it later on. With the cross of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead vividly before him. This is the one who humbled himself, emptied himself, made himself of no reputation, forgot about his deity and also his dignity, and was obedient unto death, even the death of a common criminal on a cross. For that, God gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When they got it, as people have down through the centuries, they've always gone into song. That's what happens to nobodies who become somebodies by the grace of God. Somebody like that once said, "Let him who boasts, boast of the Lord." That somebody was Jeremiah. And another somebody, St. Paul, did not hesitate to quote him. "Jeremiah was right," said St. Paul. "Jesus Christ is Lord. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches." All of these are the ways by which nobodies try to be somebodies and remain nobodies. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. These things are a delight, says the Lord. Jeremiah said that, and St. Paul said that too. Let him that glories glory in the Lord. That's the way to be somebody. They all joined in blessing the name of the Lord, glorying in the Lord, boasting in the Lord. Mary, Simeon, the messenger angel, St. Paul, and millions of people since that time who came to understand and to love the name of Jesus. They did not go around parading their own virtues. They proclaimed the grace of God. They did not boast about how good they were. They said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace was more than enough for me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Talk about his forgiveness, his kindness, his forbearance. His gift of faith makes forgiveness, kindness, forbearance, mercy, and grace real to nobodies like you and me. It all comes down finally to you and me. Jesus Christ was born for you and me. Jesus Christ died for you and me. Jesus Christ was raised for you and me. He is Lord for you and me. His name is Jesus, which means just what it says. He came to save us from our sins, those sins of pride with its never-ending prejudice, its constant passion for power, the pride that keeps us from finding salvation in the one and only, whose name is Jesus. He is Lord, my friend. He's your Lord, and he wants to be known by you as Lord. That takes faith. I know it's not easy to come by, but it takes faith. Nothing more or less than faith. It takes faith to call upon his name and to be saved. Have faith, my friend, in your Lord. St. Paul said in words that are not hard to understand, "Everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." His name is Jesus, and he is salvation. You don't have to live your life in the shadows. Live in the light as he is in the light. In his light, take a good look at yourself and see how hopeless life is without him. Take a good look at him. Take a good look at Jesus. And let God pour his grace into your heart. Let him give you life where it is to be found. In the name of Jesus. This is life. The life he gave and the life he gives. It is the light of men. Come out of the shadows into the light of Jesus Christ. And join hands with the children of light. That's what Christmas is all about. Jesus, a good new year to you, and a happy one. In his name, Jesus. Amen.